My message today is about Acts chapter 16, chapter 16, 31, the most important conversation that you can ever have. Today we're going to talk about the beautiful testimony. Brother Ludi, he was originally from Canada and he quit his job and he obeyed God to go to Mexico and become a missionary in Mexico, the city of Saltillo. And Brother Ludi, he's still a missionary. He's now in Guadalajara, southern Mexico, but he had a challenge. My dad, being so stubborn, he told him that he wanted to teach him English. And it's like, yeah, I want to learn English. But you know what? I don't like being a religious person. So just teach me English. I don't mind about your God. So I was telling about Brother Ludi because of his persistence and obedience, 6 months of talking to my dad, presenting him the gospel in English, he became now a pastor. And my dad has been a pastor for almost 41 years. We almost lost him 2 weeks ago. He was very sick. And he told me, I'm not ready to go home yet. So keep preaching about the importance of missionaries, the importance of having the obedience to go and make disciples. You know, and my dad, he was just so proud to say, I don't want to change my religion. I don't want you to tell me about religion. But the brother Ludi, every time he'll see me in the meetings that they have for about, for the English class, he will present him the gospel in English. And my dad is like, I know what you're going to tell me, that God loves me. I know that he has a plan for me. I know all that stuff. Let's move on. I want to learn more English. And that's how my dad was presented the gospel. My dad became a Christian. Now he's been all over the country in Mexico planting churches. And I'm here because of Brother Ludi. And he had a passion for my dad. And he wouldn't let him go for 6 months. He just presented the gospel every day. So there's a hint for you. If you want to teach somebody English, that's a great opportunity. Just tell him, I'm going to teach you English. And that's a great opportunity. And that's what we're doing. And Sister Valerie, I think she comes to this church. Valerie Shelbers? Valerie? I met her here last summer. She asked me if we had any opportunities to ministry. And I said, yeah, sure. So she joined us last week. So she's going to help us to teach English to these families that are coming to our outreach in Oberlin. We are so blessed by her example. She is so excited. I wish I can see her today and say, sister, let's keep pressing on. So there's always something happening. And this is testimony. These are testimonies of obedience to the Lord. When we talk about missions, we talk about, again, lives. We talk about the importance of eternity. We talk about excitement to go. And like brother was saying, it was a crazy week this week. I was not expecting that training. But the training was with other missionaries around the world, being on the mission field, telling us the stories about how God has been using them in a marvelous way. And it's, I mean, your body gets tired. 6-8 hours. The first day was 8 hours of training. We were tired, but at the end of the day, we were blessed. We had this renewal of our vision to say, we're here doing this not because of us, but because of the Lord. If you want to join something important, do missions. If you want to join something like today, you're here listening about missions. The most important thing you will ever hear in your life, it's about missions. Because it's not only the missions that you go abroad, that you go to another country, it's in your heart, it's in your neighborhood, it's in your family, and so on. So I can give you the whole speech about missions, but I'm pretty sure we have a grasp on this topic. So what must I do to be saved? How many of you have heard that question? Okay, tell me about your God. What do I need to do? I need your God. There is no more important question than this. If our answer is biblical correct, the scripture promises everlasting fellowship with God. If we answer this question incorrectly, our eternal future holds separation from God and everlasting torment. I remember my friend Andres, we used to play soccer together. How many of you like soccer? You're going to go to heaven. In heaven, there is soccer. I'm pretty sure. Andres was my goalie. And I was Andres. He was the best goalie ever. And I was the worst defender ever. He was mad at me. And he said, you never covered the goal. So we were fighting. And then he said, you know, by the way, we have a tournament next Sunday. You know, Sunday means church. He said, and really, I don't want to play. I really want to go to your church. I've been feeling really sick, and I don't know if I should really ever keep playing soccer. And I said, Andres, come on. I don't want to go to church. I want to play soccer. It's a tournament. We worked so hard for this time of the year. I was only 17. Oh, that was a long time ago. I was just thinking in my head, that's a long time ago. 17 years old. And he said, yeah, you know, we ended up playing the whole day. That night, Andres died. I never had the chance to share the gospel with him. Ever since that moment, I promised myself, Lord, if somebody else asks me to go to church, if somebody asks me about you, I'm never going to be quiet about it. And listen to me right now. Every day, I've been talking to people about God. Every day, after 17, I decided that my life was not going to be a regular life because I wanted to tell all the Andreses in the world that they're going to die, and before they die, they need to get things right with God. I didn't want anybody to die without Christ, and that's why I became an evangelist. When I get back to high school, I had the worst day, so my high school, everybody was like, oh, there he comes, the religious. And they get me, I was being bullied because I was a Christian. And you know, right now, I see them, and most of them are not here anymore. Most of my friends from high school that used to bully me, they're passed away. I don't know if they heard the gospel, but answering this question, answering to God when he calls you and say, are you ready to meet your are you ready to meet your creator? What is your answer? And that's what we're talking about in here. There's what must I do to be saved? We will consider the answer to this question as we study the context and the context of a precious promise of God's word found in Acts 16:31. Paul, Timothy, and Silas were the first European missionaries. God had directed them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. The most important thing about missions is that God directed. God leads your life to do his work. You never expect to be out of God's will and trying to do missions without being in God's will. God's directing, God's leading, God is taking the care, God is taking control. And this is what we found here in Acts 16, 6 to 11. This is, brother had him here, brother Kurt. He did a really good job on that. I love his work, brother. I'll hire you in a bit. So, he says, and they went through the region of Persia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Why? We don't know. But there's a reason there. God is leading. So this says, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called on us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace. I don't know how to pronounce that. You can forgive me. I know in Spanish. And the following day to Neapolis. So we got in here, the vision. And again, we don't have a mission without a vision. But that's another worship that we're going to do next time. But a business, in this case, we have these missionaries being obedient to God. And the first city in which they preached was Philippi. That's the next verses in verse 12 to 13. What happened in Philippi? And from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, we remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. 13? You got the 13? We just got the 12. 13. Oh, I read it, yeah. So we got that idea. A businesswoman from Thyatira named Lydia was saved. Paul was used to expel a demon from a slave girl who had a talent with divination. When this took place, the slave girl's masters were very unhappy. They had been making a few shekels from her magical skills, and now that she was in her right mind, they had lost a steady source of income. As a result, they brought Paul and Silas to the authorities and accused them of a crime. The resulting trial took place in the open market in the presence of an angry mob. Paul and Silas were beaten and cast into the inner prison. We got three examples, three testimonies of what's going on when we are obedient to God. And when we are being obedient to God, we don't have to worry about the results. We have to just trust him because he's leading us. And when he's leading us, he's protecting us. He's leading us, he's providing for us. He's taking care of us. We don't even have to worry what to say. He's going to help us to tell, to have the right words to say. I'm not worried to stand in front of a mob and tell him about Jesus. I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about burning the bridges if I don't talk to people personally one-to-one. I like to talk to people one-to-one. If you see me talking to people one-to-one, that's what I like to do. Because I know that salvation is not in mobs. Salvation is personal, and we like to approach people in a personal way. So we got three miracles in here. What happened is now Paul and Silas, the heroes of the faith, or big examples or big challenges for you and I today, Paul and Silas, for doing what God told them to do, they go to jail. Have you heard about Christians going to jail? It reminds me of what Jesus was telling me. And all these things, you will be blessed if they do them to you under my name, because of me. And now we have these people in jail. I've never been to jail, but one of the challenges for my life was one of my missionary professors in the seminary said, don't go this far. If you're not ready to die, you don't have to get so messed up with these studies. If you're not willing to go to jail because of Christ, don't even mess with these homeworks, with these assignments. Just fail the grade. It was our missionary teacher. Said, if you really are not ready to go to jail for Christ, don't worry about this lesson. If you're not going to die for Christ, don't worry about your faith. And today, I'm telling you that I'm not worried about dying, but then I think about my wife, and poor lady, she's going to miss me. Who's going to raise my kids? You know, and you start wondering all these things, like, maybe the gospel is not for me. Maybe I shouldn't be a missionary. Maybe I shouldn't risk my life so much, staying away from those bridges underneath the St. Louis area. I shouldn't go there. Maybe they're going to hit me with a ball, and, you know, maybe I should get my gun. And there we are with my father-in-law, and I tell him my story. He's not a Christian, my father-in-law. So he gets mad at me, like, you shouldn't be risking yourself. I'm going to go with you next time. I'm going to be driving behind you with my gun. And I'll go with you. And those all, I'm like, don't worry. You know, God has my back. Like, we should carry a gun with you. So he got me a gun for Christmas. I'm supposed to carry in here. You know, I'm going to be the missionary with a gun. You know, I'm like, I'm not in the flesh. Our weapons are not in the flesh. If I die, I die for the Lord. Amen. If I've been shot in St. Louis, I'll be in the news. Mexican wetback, get all fierce for his faith. Praise the Lord. I was there. I told them about Jesus, and they say, well, if you really true and really excited about your faith, are you ready to meet him? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to meet him. So if that happens, praise the Lord. And I think that's the biggest risk that we have. We're not willing to run and to pay the price for a faith. For me, to die is Christ. I was talking to my dad over the phone. He told me, son, I'm not ready to go home, but I will. And when that happens, I want you to know that I'll be with my Lord. And I'll be really happy because I know you'll be there sometimes. So, Dad, you're not going to die, Dad. I will, but I know where I'm going. When we face eternity that way, in such a fashion that we think about the reality, you never know when's the last time you're going to see somebody. Like my friend Andres. That night he passed away, and his dad told me, his dad was very mean to me. He was the one who made me quit playing the Christian faith. Quit being, lukewarm? Half. Either you are or you're not. So it's your fault that he died and he's going to hell right now. You told him something when you met him. And that's what he said, Andres, bring Juan tonight because I need to talk to him about I want to go to heaven. And I still remember his dad's angry face looking at me and said he wanted to go to heaven. It's better for him to be in heaven right now because now I'm going to punch you. I said, his name was Mauricio. Señor Mauricio, Andres wanted to go to church. We had the tournament. We had to play that soccer game. We had to play soccer. I really pray about it. I already confessed the Lord that, so don't worry. I'm just telling you that's a testimony of what happens. When is the last time you talk to somebody? We don't know. Are we willing to run the price for following Christ? I'm not trying to be just a clown here trying to make you feel guilty. No. I'm telling you the reality of Christian life. When we are willing to die for our Savior, when we're going to put our lives in the line, say, Lord, take me. I want to go. I want to be that person that you want me to be. I want to be the one who tells people about you. I want to tell them about there is a better life. There is a new life that you want to give him. When I talk to Naum has been sober for 9 months. He didn't know what it was like to be sober. Now he doesn't drink a sip of alcohol. Now he's ready to say, what do I do with all this money? What do I do with all my fake friends that I have? They don't come to see me anymore. But you know what? I have a wife now. We're going to have a new baby. We have a new life because of Jesus. I could have said, Chesterfield is too far from my radio. You know, I'm really more comfortable here in this 20 miles. 20 minutes, I say, in Mexican. But 3 miracles happened while in prison. Paul and Silas exhibited a joy and steadfastness. What, how do you say that word? Fastness? Thank you. that could only be produced by the Spirit of God. So even they were in jail, they were not mad, they were not angry, they were not having a pity party, they were excited to be in jail, they were, he says, rather than murmuring, and whining, the record simply tells us that they pray and sing praises to the Lord. I love your worship team here. They just make you think that you're in a concert, right? Sounds really nice. I forgot that really nice thing about having live worship, you know. It's like you listen to so many DVDs or CDs. I mean, DVDs, they don't exist anymore. Well, there's some. When you listen to the radio, but when you see faces actually singing and worshiping the Lord, you see that the Lord is present. It's interesting to know that years later, Paul wrote a letter to the people and said, Philippians 4:7, the same church, do not be anxious for nothing. While he was in prison, you say, well, he wrote a letter from prison. That's just a crazy idea. But there have been three miracles. Number one, there is thankfulness and gratitude, and there is songs in the prison. There are people singing in the prison. So we got the first one in there. We got them thankfulness. They're not whining about being in the dungeon. Paul wrote these words from the revelation and experience. This made an attitude of prayer and thanksgiving, which results in peace, was a reality in his life. This was the first miracle, the attitude of gratitude that is produced in a spirit-filled believer's life, regardless of circumstances, is a supernatural work of God. Now, I think I ran out of time. I think it's time to go for lunch. I think I overrun my, I don't know, I had how long I had. I'm just going to go over this real quick, but I have more examples to give you, but we're just going to go real quick about these miracles. The second miracle was the physical in nature, the records tell us, and since earthquake was sent by heaven, and everyone's bands were loose. This earthquake was sent by God and resulted in all the prison's doors. Well, I don't know, Brother Shane, if that happens in our jail here. Everybody's going to stay there waiting. All the prison's doors were open and the prisoners' bands being loose. Yet an even more remarkable miracle was to follow. The jailkeeper, seeing these fantastic events, was certain that all the prisoners had escaped. He knew his life would be taken as the penalty for allowing this to happen. He was ready to commit suicide. This is what we're talking about, life and death. I'm done. I'm done with my life. This is it. My boss is going to kill me. And that's the penalty that they will have to face. They had to be killed because they were not doing their job. He was ready to go. I still remember Myra. Myra was a lady in Nebraska. She called me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, I don't remember really well your name. I just remember that you gave me a Bible, and I find your number in my Bible, and I'm calling you. I remember you talked to me about something, and she said, hold on, who are you? Oh, it doesn't matter who I am. What I'm telling you is I was about to kill my husband right now. I saw the Bible, and I couldn't do it, and then I was going to kill myself. I'm not telling you a tell story. This is real. It happened. And I told, hold on, Myra, where do you live? I need to talk to you. She says, please come. He's drunk. He's beating me, and I'm ready to kill him. Because she had hit him and he fell. He was dismayed. So she was ready. When I got there, I saw Myra, a tiny person. Nothing wrong with tiny people. She was like this, and the husband was there on the floor. Say, Myra, give me that thing. I don't know if I should be doing that, Shane. Oh, I should talk some survival. I asked her to give me the knife, and she was like, no, I don't want to give it to you. I really want to kill him, but I'm not going to because you already talked to me, but I still want to kill him. Today, Myra and Jesus, they have a Bible study in their home. They're four kids. They're wanting to know about the Lord. One of them is going to college that he wants to learn about Jesus. We don't know if God called Eric to be a pastor or not. He loves talking to me. We enjoy talking on the phone because of a testimony, because God intervenes when we are following his direction. This guy was going to kill himself. And I got more to tell you. You know the story. But my point today, I want to finish. I'm going to have to wrap it up, Brother Kurt. Sorry about that. But we have to make sure we don't have any people starving here. He looks and then Paul informed him of the third miracle. Do thyself no harm. I don't know, folks, but if I don't see a person trusting Jesus for their lives, all that they do is harm themselves every day. They need to hear somebody to tell them, do not continue doing that. Do not hurt yourself anymore. There is a reason for you to do that. No more. When Jesus comes to you, life changes. That guy was about to commit suicide. Paul says, do not do that. So that's the biggest miracle that I see in here. A life being safe. If something you can get about this message, it's not about the food or me being Mexican or anything else, is lives need to be safe. You probably don't have a gun. You don't have maybe all these things that all the paramedics wear. God loves you. Do not hurt yourself anymore. God loves you. There's not such a powerful message to tell somebody. Oh, sorry, I don't want to break your... I just get excited. And I'm not Pentecostal. I just get excited in telling people God loves them and He has a better plan for your life than what you're doing right now. Don't hurt yourself anymore. What are you talking about? They had the needles in their hands. I said, do not hurt yourself anymore. I need to tell you something. Let's go eat something. I don't know how many times I've taken people to eat because I love them. And I know people are happy when you give them food. I never see them again. But that day, I was making sure that they knew that there was a better life in Christ. It takes, how much does it cost to pay for somebody else's meals? And you tell them, now that you're eating, I'm going to eat with you. We're going to eat together. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Oh, are you punishing me? No, I'm just telling you that this is a chance for you to change your life, turn around, and start a new life. But this is very important. Can you imagine, opening, we had talked about that. When believers are living for Jesus Christ, people will take note. Whether it be a song, an attitude, a work ethic, people ought to notice a difference in the lives of God's people. The testimony of Paul and Silas set the stage for the $1 million, $2,000 billion question that a person is going to ask you. I want what you have. I told you this a couple months ago when I visited you. I want to go to your church. I want to be part of your church. I want to do what you're doing right now because I know that's different than I'm doing right now, and I did that in my life. What do I need? I start speaking in Spanish. What do I need to be safe? Beautiful question. Sirs, what must I do to be safe? The answer is grace. You know all the story. That day, all his family was safe. The object of faith, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart. Believe Jesus. The results of believing, you shall be safe. Your life will be transformed. And my final questions are for you today. I really encourage you to have this kind of conversation with anybody. Tell them about Jesus. Just start off the ground. You don't have to worry about if the person is a believer or not. You might consider that. But let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about somebody who loves you. That works a lot. When you tell that to a guy who's high in the drugs, and you tell somebody loves you, they want to listen to you. And they think the mama loves them, but she has rejected them. No, I'm not going to talk about your mama. Oh, my daddy, I'm not going to talk about Jesus. So what is your role? Are we asking that question? Have you asked that question? What do I need to be safe? If you have asked that question, congratulations. Now, the next one will be, are you answering people about Jesus? Are you telling people about Jesus? And that will be the last one that we have in there. Have you asked this question before? Congratulations if you have. And are you ready to follow up with these questions? And that's what I'm going to ask you to pray for us. We have a lot of people saying, yes, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. How many of you have said that? I want to go to heaven. That's amazing. That's wonderful. But now, let's work on your discipleship. Let's work on commitment. And that's what, of all the contacts that I have, out of 10 contacts, 9 tell me I want to go to heaven. Only one wants to follow up with discipleship. And I'm going to continue with that one until that one makes another one, and that other one makes another one. Pray for us as we work on discipleship. Pray for us as we share the gospel. I don't want to be a victim or a martyr. I don't consider myself a martyr, but I just want to be obedient to where God leads us. I pray for you that every day God gives you open doors for you to share the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to transform lives, to change life from ugliness to beautiness. It's the message of love that will transform our world, starting with ourselves. Thank you for your attention, and God bless you. Thank you for having us.